First Up continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Kurolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. Coco, 18 weeks of the NFL have come and gone. Where has the time gone? Finally, the playoffs are here. And as we do every Friday morning at this time, we welcome in Adam Chernoff from Covers.com, a very busy man these days, Coco. Also hosting the Simple Handicap podcast, the host of Covers Daily, which you can find on the Covers YouTube channel. Adam, thank you for finding time for us, my friend. How are you?
Of course, doing fantastic. And I'm sort of preaching what I learned growing up, which was helping others and treating others the way you wanted to be treated. So trying to help out Bills fans this morning, I'm buying $18 tickets on StubHub and relisting them for $6 to try to sell out the stadium.
It's crazy. Like the lack of
good
fan support that the Buffalo Bills are giving their squad. And listen, it's going to be cold in Buffalo, Adam. And we know that. That's been the main storyline that has permeated this game from a betting perspective all week. And we've been talking so much about Josh Allen and the circulation in his feet. Should he take Viagra or not? But I feel like an underrated storyline here is Mac Jones, the quarterback, the rookie quarterback of the Patriots, and historical success or lack thereof of rookie quarterbacks in the wild card round. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's been really rough for rookies starting off in the wild card round, 4-8 against the spread. But you look at some of like the individual numbers and it's 52% completion rate. It's 187 yards passing on average. It's 5.3 yards per attempt, more interceptions than touchdowns. It's just been a really big struggle for those rookie quarterbacks and first-time appearing quarterbacks, too. And so for Mac Jones, I think he gets sort of a little bit of a pass, or at least some people are giving it because of Belichick and how he can never do anything wrong and what comes from that. But to me, looking down the stretch at some of the struggles for Mac Jones, I think it's really difficult to be like overly optimistic about a big performance in what has historically been such a tricky spot for these young QBs.
And I think we're all kind of conflicted on this game a little bit. The idea of the third game between these two teams over the course of the year, the spread is kind of in that weird zone, 4, 4.5 in favor of Buffalo. If there was one way you could play this game from a prop perspective, and we talked about Mac Jones, maybe an under for him might be the example, but is there something you're eyeing from a player prop perspective when it comes to the Patriots or the Bills, or is there an angle on the game or the total that you like?
So I was intrigued by the Josh Allen rushing yards prop. As you mentioned, the quote about his feet was bizarre, but it's more so just his willingness to use his legs in high leverage games. And when I use that term, it's referring to obviously playoff games, elimination games, or ones important within the division, but specifically on third and fourth down when it matters the most, that's when we see him really go to his legs. And that's really a constant among like mobile quarterbacks in the playoffs, especially early on in the playoffs. But this number is just getting slammed. It opened 27.5. It is up to 45 and a half this morning. So a lot of value lost there from the prop side on his rushing yard specifically, but he is still plus 155 to score a rushing touchdown. So I think at this point, that's a little bit more appealing than the rushing yards. The Patriots defense, I think it's really overinflated based on the schedule they faced and where they rank defensively. But they've certainly been vulnerable at times versus mobile quarterbacks. We saw Allen have a very good meeting against them in the second go-around. So I think if there was one way I was going to look, that's certainly it.
We're in conversation with Adam Chernoff from Covers.com.
The Knopf Father,
the host of the Simple Handicap podcast and Covers Daily on the Covers YouTube channel. Adam, another game that we're really excited for. It goes on Sunday. It's the Bucks hosting the Eagles. And I know you've picked a side in this game, but I'm curious to know how much the weather may affect your perception and your handicapping of this game. Because if you look at the weather in Tampa on Sunday, a lot of rain, significant amount of wind. Do you think that helps or hurts the Buccaneers?
It's a really interesting back and forth from that. So the magic number that you always want to watch for when betting football in the wind is 20 miles per hour. anytime you get above 20 miles per hour, the average closing total on games like that gets to 40. And so this game opened 49. When the forecast switched, it got bet down a ton. It's now at 45 and a half this morning. It's always tricky to gauge weather within Florida, but if we get high winds and if we get rain, it's important to remember this stadium is natural grass, so it's going to get really messy. And you would think that that lends itself to the Eagles and how efficient they are running. However, this Buccaneers defense still very good against the run in the front seven. And if the Eagles, who don't have a passing game to begin with, are forced to be a little bit more one-dimensional because you can't throw the football as well with the wind and the rain, I think that actually bodes well for the Buccaneers defense. And on the other side, it's the Eagles who allow the highest opposing quarterback completion rate in the NFL. And, I mean, you guys know it as well as anyone listening to the show. Brady's pretty good at completing short passes and working his way down the field. So
I've heard that.
I think it actually it works out well for Tampa. But I did play minus eight. But I would also be intrigued with potentially looking at Gronkowski props for receiving yards. No team worse at defending tight ends in the NFL than the Eagles. Pretty sure Brady trusts Gronkowski in a game as important as this, more than any of the other receivers that are kind of standing in for a bunch of injuries at this time.
Adam, the Pittsburgh Steelers end up squeezing their way into the playoffs, and surprisingly, with the dreadful performance that Big Ben put out throughout the season, do you give them any chance in this game to potentially cover the spread against the Chiefs, maybe even pull off a little bit of an upset?
I would say squeezing is a very polite term for what they did to get in. I mean, this is as bad of a playoff team from a numbers perspective as we've seen in years. They squeak by the Titans somehow, despite getting outgained by nearly double the output. They sneak by the Browns. They sneak by the Ravens to finish and just back
they tied the
in.
Lions.
It's high against the Lions. Like, this team is really bad. And offensively, 4.0 yards per play down the stretch in the final 5 weeks. That's the worst mark in the NFL. Like, this is a very restricted offense. I was looking at this number, and I was thinking that it was short because we saw the Chiefs without Kelce and with Hill at far less than 100% on Boxing Day get out to a 30-point lead early in the fourth quarter. Now, both of those guys are going to be back. Hill still has the heel injury, but still, like, we saw what happened within this matchup. And so I was looking, that game closed 10.5. This game opened 12.5. And I was like, this has to be a game that's 14. But as I talked to a couple different bookmakers from some of the major spots in the U.S., some bookmakers from major spots offshore, throughout the week, they were continuously saying that they thought that this number was actually the most inflated of
really?
Any other wild card game this week. And so that gave me reason to pause. So I haven't bet on it, but if you can find the way that makes you comfortable backing Pittsburgh, I would love to hear it because I can't find it.
Well, not to mention Najee Harris banged up. He hasn't practiced the first two practices this week. Tomlin says they're going to give him a go, but some question marks with him. And, I mean, if Najee Harris is out, he's their bell cow. A couple of things that I've targeted at him. You know I love my props. I've bet Snell and McFarlane anytime touchdowns at 17-1. Maybe Harris sits. Maybe he's banged up on some long shot props that I was looking at. But a couple of notes with the Steelers and the Chiefs. The largest spread ever in a wild card game is 11.5 points. Of course, this game, at least at this point in time, is 12.5 in favor of KC. Ben Roethlisberger, in his long and illustrious career, has never been an underdog of 11 or more points in his career. He's only been a double-digit dog twice, going 0-2 ATS in those games. So some stats for you in that respect. And Adam Chernoff is our guest from Covers.com. We've talked so much about the divisional rivalry between New England and Buffalo and how divisional rematches historically, at least since 2014, the underdogs really thrive in those. 7-0 ATS in divisional rematches in the postseason in the last eight postseasons. This applies not only to New England this week, but also to Arizona, who's a 4-point dog against the LA Rams. when you look at that, it sounds like J.J. Watt may be returning. How effective he is remains to be seen. No DeAndre Hopkins, which I know you've intimated as it represents a significant issue for Arizona's offense. When you're handicapping the Rams and the Cards, how do you do it and break it down for us?
This is a tricky one for me, at least. Not much in terms of betting yet at this point, but what I will say is I don't know if we should be looking at Arizona as this legitimate Super Bowl contender or this high-flying offense, because the truth is, with Hopkins in the lineup weeks 1 to 13, Arizona was top three in all major offensive categories. Weeks 14 to 18 without him, they dropped down to an average of 16th in those categories. So when we think about what DeAndre Hopkins does to this offense, but also how he impacts how opponents defend this team, it's the Cardinals going from an elite top three offense to being an average offense. And so to me, that makes me look at this team in a very different way. And we saw it down the stretch, right? Just 1-4 in terms of games they won versus games they lost. Like, this was a team that looked very different finishing than they did early in the year when they were beating everybody and blowing everyone out with their offense. And it's also a matchup where McVay has really owned Arizona, especially with Kingsbury. Like, he just has this matchup, and he can call plays towards them. And I want to go and back the Rams, and I know other people that have been the professional bettors that have been intrigued by backing L.A. too. But I can't get there with the way L.A. looked down the stretch either. Stafford led the league in turnovers the final eight games of the season. This offense just hasn't been right outside of Cooper Kupp since they had some of the injuries late down the stretch. It just seems like this number, if there was really sort of a push to back L.A., that was legitimate from bettors earlier on the week, we would have seen this number tick up by now. I make the number pretty close to where it is, and it's just a game I'm having a lot of trouble with, haven't acted on it yet, but it's two teams that I'm not overly excited to bet on at any point during these playoffs.
Adam, what excites you in the Dallas-San Fran game? Because it seems like the popular pick right now in the public is San Fran being, you know, the one team that can actually pull an upset here. But are you feeling the same way about San Fran's chances, or, you know, do you give Dallas more of the edge in this game?
I think what you said is spot on. San Francisco is the team that, if you were going to handpick an opponent from these playoffs that was a bad matchup for Dallas, it would certainly be the 49ers. The Cowboys defensively, they can't stop the run. They struggle defending the middle of the field. San Francisco, very good at running football, but also throwing over the middle to guys out of the slot, as well as George Kittle. So it's a perfect matchup for San Francisco's offense against the Cowboys' defense. And then you flip things around, this 49ers front, very good at generating pressure. That's been the one weakness for the Cowboys over the course of the season. It's gone a long way to slow down their passing game. They also get reinforcements back within the secondary. This is the healthiest we're going to see the 49ers passing defense in about 8 weeks. And it's also a case of the Cowboys, I think, being a little bit inflated down the stretch. It's sort of earning this number to where it is. Like, the Eagles sat everybody. Jerry Jones went out of his way to have the team run up the score. So there was a 51-point output against nobody. In the Washington game, the football team riddled with COVID and injuries. That was the other 50-point output for the Cowboys. So that one was kind of skewed a little bit. Then they beat the Giants. They beat Washington again. They beat the
Saints up on the NFC East.
New Orleans was ravaged with COVID. Yeah, and so it's sort of been the Cowboys feasting off these bad opponents and the NFC East opponents who have struggled the entire season. And when they've had to step up in class against playoff teams, it's a loss against the Cardinals, a loss against the Raiders, a loss against the Chiefs, a loss against the Buccaneers. Like, it's just kind of been one of those seasons where they beat the bad teams, they struggled against the good teams, and now they get a very sneaky Niners team that's just a bad matchup for them on both sides of the football.
Adam, before we let you go, last week on our show you teased some futures bets with us that included two AFC teams, the Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans. Now that the playoff matchups are set, do you find value anywhere else, and what could you potentially look at for a Super Bowl matchup?
still sitting on those two. Have the Titans, have the Bills. Potentially, you're going to be able to dodge a matchup there. So that's working out well from just how the seeding fell in the final week of the season. Not going and adding anything else yet. And from a Super Bowl matchup, I think things, if the 49ers can win against Dallas, if you kind of look at their path in the NFC, it gets interesting because they'll likely go to Green Bay. If you think about a bad matchup for the Packers, certainly San Francisco. And if you're looking beyond that, if they happen to get anyone else in the Monday night matchup, especially the Rams, very bad matchup for how they defend it too. So I think the Niners are sneaky from the NFC side, but I'm content sitting with the Bills and the Titans in the AFC for now.
Big weekend. If you're an NFL fan, if you're a fan of betting on the NFL and you have your audience covered on Covers Daily, Adam, you're welcoming some great guests each and every day on the Covers YouTube channel. I will be dialed in as I always am, and we appreciate you taking the time for us this morning.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the playoff weekend.
You got it, bud. Thanks for the Knopf Father for blessing us with his presence.
That's right. He made us an offer that we can't refuse.
That's right.
And that offer is winners. We would never refuse any winners.